single 50 ohm coax feed line, low SWR on all frequencies, maximum possible efficiency, rugged mechanical construction, 50 feet tall, T25 type of aluminum, both antennas easily erected by one person, and so on and so forth. Now, the they give you a unique vertical website here, Dick. If you'd like, I could give it to you, over.
Yeah, I just Googled the combination unique verticals plus DJ2UT. I did get some responses, but so far each one I looked at is not that antenna. So go ahead with that that URL, Mel. Go ahead.
Okay, this is the model T50. He's got quite a number of models. He's got the number of beams that he sells also. And I've heard them on the air, a number of people on the air, with the XP series, those are his Yagis. And they were raving about it, that I guess it's the sort of the European version of the stepper system, Dick. But this vertical is has no motors or anything like that, according to this. It's just a pipe that sticks up there with some kind of a wire that comes off. It's called a folded monopole. And, boy, I think like this would easily, you know, be able to be put up and look like a flagpole and all, no radios to put down. Hey, what the heck? You can't beat it. This is good as, they say, the invention of white bread and ham radio, over.
Sounds awful good. I'm ready to start writing that URL, Mel.
Okay. HTTP. Colon. Backslash. Backslash. Two and a two. Two of them. Back. Then www. Dot. Somer. S-O-M-M-E-R. S like in Sam. S-O-M-M-E-R, antennas, one word, A-N-T-E-N-N-A-S, somerantennas.com. That's what I have here, over.
K2YO. Okay, I type that in, and it will not load. Go ahead, Bernie.
Mel, have you ever successfully pulled up this website? We talked about this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I've been trying periodically on and off, and have never been able to get this webpage to load.
I've never done it. I just got a printout from it, from somebody that was interested, and then I got a number of comments, emails, and from people that supposedly, one, two of them that are using the antenna, and they said, phenomenal, phenomenal, recommended. So, I'm just trying to be, I suppose, the middleman here. Go ahead, Dick.
Situation. Go ahead, Alex. It might be possible that this site is visible only in Germany or in Europe. So try to switch your browser to the German language, and maybe that will be the solution.
I guess that's worth a try, but right now my machine is just stalled. It can't pick up that, it can't bring up that site. That's kind of amazing to me. And first of all, the other thing that's amazing is that everything I know about antennas, all my experience with finite-sized antennas, I'm not talking about a rhombic, I'm not talking about a beverage, a finite-sized antenna must resonate because it's a standing wave structure. It's got to resonate before it'll do a significant amount of radiation and give you a reasonably low standing wave ratio. Let me drop. And this antenna is claiming to be 10 through 80 meters inclusive, all the frequencies in between. Does that mean the antenna goes from 3.5 megacycles to 30 megacycles? It spans 27 megacycles inclusive. It has a Q of 1. It's as good as a 50 ohm dummy load resistor. Wow. I won't say it's impossible, but my goodness, if that's the claim, that's an extremely unusual claim. I've never seen antennas do that. To have individual harmonic resonances on each one of the ham bands, I can accept that. But to tune continuously, yes, a great big structure like a disc cone antenna can come pretty close. A log periodic can come pretty close. And that's a whole lot of hardware. And this thing is nothing but a simple vertical pole with a wire hanging off of it and no loading coils anywhere. So let me have a double check on that one, Mel. Do they claim it covers all the frequencies in between and low standing wave ratio? If so, that's a combination that is unheard of up till now, per se, without it being a dummy load. K2KEY, K2LIW.
I think, Dick, let me drop. So the key word that we're overpassing here, it is that is a response to the stepper IR antennas, which are geometrically variable antennas. So somehow, somewhere, we don't see it in the picture, this antenna must change its geometry too.
Thumbs up, over.
Okay, we had a perfect double. Alex made it. We didn't hear you, Mel, so Mel, repeat your message, please.
I thought you turned it over to me. I apologize. I didn't realize you turned it to Alex. DJ2UT says, has developed the world's most advanced antenna systems that are all patented. And I said, go to QRZ and type in DJ2UT and see what comes up, over.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, Roger. Sorry, Alex, I didn't mean to double with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I doubled with you. I apologize.
Okay. Just a little bit of direction here. All right, that's the question. And, boy, I've got 50, at least 50 emails here saying, can it be that, yes, according to the chart, it shows a SWR of at least 1.5 to 1 starting at 80 meters. Starting at 3 megahertz and going to 30. And it even mentions here 80, 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10 meters and all frequencies in between. Okay, I don't know. Maybe he's discovered something new that never realized his existence in this world of radio, Dick, over.
I did go to QRZ.com, DJ2UT. I got his page. On the bottom, there's an indication for, you can click on Somer Antenna. I'm on Somer Antenna. The very first thing you see there is a Norwegian and a United Kingdom flag. DJ2UT Multi-Beam Series XP50. 4.4 meters / 15 meter, 15 foot boom. I see that particular antenna. I don't see the antenna you're talking about. So I did manage to get to Somer Antenna. I haven't found a way of getting to his other products.
KC2, QIQ.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, Dick, I did a similar search on DJ2UT, and also he's listed as a silent key as of May 2009, so that might give us a heads up that some of these products might not be easily found anymore.
Okay, I'm on Somer Antenna. I do see something now that says here, back to main page. It's the only thing I can go anywhere else. Okay, welcome to SM6FZ dead site, FZ Delta. I can't find that antenna. I did manage to get to Somer Antennas. But does he still exist? Because he's now a silent key. And I see beam-like antennas. I don't see those vertical monopole, folded dipole like that, folded monopole. So were you able to get to that antenna by way of QRZ.com, Mel? K2KEY, K2LIW.
I got it from a printout. They sent me a printout on it. It's called the T50, T like in Tango. T-50. That's the vertical. And it's got a nice, very nice layout of it and all. I mean, the specifications and, yeah, it also mentions the beams. He has this XT series beams, XT-40, XT-50, XT-70, XT-80, XT-807. I don't know what all these different beams are, four-band beams and things, and monoband performance on his beams. Oh, I didn't realize that DJ-2UT became a silent key. All right. I guess we have a quandary here. It just sounds, like I say, too good to be true. No tuning. I just can't figure out what the heck he's doing. Could have done with a folded monopole. I've pictured all kinds of monopole. I mean, I've known about monopoles for a long, long time, and I just can't picture what you can do with a 50-foot piece of pipe and a piece of wire hanging on the side of it that can make a tune like that, Dick, over.
I'm with you. Much too good to be true. You've got to resonate on each one of those frequencies in order to build up enough cyclic current to create a strong enough magnetic field to really initiate the radiating process. For that antenna to tune 3.5 megacycles to 30 megacycles inclusive implies there is no resonance, implies there's no current multiplication, there's no significant magnetic field created. Yes, you allow me to make an antenna that has buried somewhere in the middle of that pipe something like a 50-ohm dummy load. I can give you that performance, standing wave ratio-wise. And with the wire hanging on the outside, I'll get some radiation. What's the real gain of that antenna? Does the brochure claim a gain? If not, I'm a little bit worried. Although, as you know, let me drop. QST Magazine will no longer accept a gain number, because so many of the manufacturers were flipping so strongly in the past. There's no longer any gain numbers on any of the advertisements for the antennas in QST Magazine. So, in their brochure, did they claim a gain? And boy, that's a lot of bandwidth. Wow. Huh. What new law of physics could it be for a radiating standing wave structure? I mean, this thing is not a rhombic or a beverage. It's not 15 wavelengths long. Therefore, it must be, if it's a real efficient radiator, it must be a standing wave structure. A standing wave structure means that your transmission line launches a group of charge that bounces back and forth in that antenna in a resonating manner. Not too different from your daughter swinging back and forth on a swing. That's another kind of pendulum resonator. That's where the current multiplication comes from. That's where the buildup of energy, of kinetic energy and potential energy comes from. And here's an antenna that doesn't build up any energy, obvious by the fact it's got a Q of unity that covers all frequencies at once. It's a violation of everything I know, Mel. And like you, I'm starting off very skeptical. I won't say absolutely positively no. This is pure hokum. And you also said, by the way, Mel, that it's quite pricey. So what are we talking about here, $700 or something like that? K2KEY, K2RIW.
Let me explain a bit about a folded monopole.
I can't believe that a folded monopole can be efficient as a radiator and be broadband enough to cover 3.5 to 30 megacycles inclusive. Have you seen anything like that, Mel, with a low standing wave ratio and high radiation efficiency across all of those frequencies all at once? Over to you, Alex.
I see it in the book.
Okay, gentlemen. Here comes the $1,000 million question. What is the most important factor in a loop antenna to match to your transmitter? It is not the wire length, it's not the wire thickness, it's not the opening of the, it is not if it's square or a round. The most important factor in a loop antenna, it is its ratio between height and weight. When you have a square antenna, a square loop antenna, you have about 75 ohm impedance at its center. Please correct me, Dick, if that 75 ohm is correct. Back to you.
See it in the magazine.
It's in that ballpark. Go ahead.
Okay. So as you squeeze the loop horizontally, it becomes a folded dipole. And that impedance now changes to 300 ohms. So from the square to the 300, through the folded dipole, you have a change from 75 ohm to 300 ohms. This will match anything within this impedance range presented to the cable. Now going in the other direction, you have the a similar issue, that from 75 ohm you're going down to 12 ohm or 8 ohms or something like that. When your antenna, your loop becomes very narrow and very tall, it becomes actually a vertical monopole. And perhaps what we're not seeing there and what is not spelled out, it is that this guy that DJ2UT has created a sort of stepper IR that is actually a loop, a square loop that can be folded down to a horizontal.
I can support it with the cubical quad. Actually, it's a loop, but it's in square size. I agree with you, Alex.
So, thank you. So that means that we have a complete range from 10 ohms or whatever when the folded dipole is vertical to 300 ohms or something like that when the folded dipole is horizontal. That can match anything in between because it is so big. It is 80 feet long, 80 feet tall. That means that somehow, somewhere, we don't see it there. He has an extension horizontally that can make it 50 feet horizontally too. I'm not sure. I don't see the picture. But this is the connection between the two. Let me drop. Between the two claims. Folded monopole dipole vertical and stepper IR alike. Back to you, Dick.
When I feed the center of a folded dipole, I do get 300 ohms. And if I'm not physically changing anything mechanically, I'm getting the 300 ohm impedance over, oh, let me pick a number, a 5% bandwidth. When he goes from 3.5 megs to 30 megs, he's going over 1,000% bandwidth. There is no stepper motor in this thing. There's no mechanical tuning. And yes, when I feed the folded monopole at the bottom, I get a very small number of ohms. And I can make an efficient radiator at a few percent bandwidth. But again, without changing mechanical dimensions, I can't make it broadband. Now, Mel just said it's in the catalog. Let's see what he means by that. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Yeah, I got an email that if you look in the 18th edition, I just pulled it, the 18th edition of the antenna book, ARRL antenna book on page 698. There it is. I'm looking right at it, Dick. Over.
That 18th edition was published when, Mel?
Because I got so many of them here. I keep buying them, you know, as they come out, more or less. 1997. Copyright 1997. Over.
Okay, maybe I've got that issue also, and I'm going to go get it. So this 50-foot Tango 50 antenna is in that issue. What kind of performance in that advertisement in the antenna book? What does it claim for performance? Is it again saying 80 meters to 10 meters inclusive, all the frequencies in between? Is it claiming a VISWR number? Is it claiming a gain number? Well, it can't claim a gain number because it's in an ARL publication. To have gain in efficiency of radiation without resonating, I mean, to cover that much percentage of frequencies, that is not a resonator. And Up till now, I have not found an exception to my little rule. You first resonate, then you can radiate. This thing is not resonating if it covers that much frequency. How is it radiating if it's not a dummy load? Over to you, Mel. K2LAW.
K2LAW.
Now, hold on, Bernie. Mel first. Go ahead, Mel.
The whole thing, if you look, you have the addition, it'll answer all your questions. There's the antenna, there's the chart on the SWR, typical SWR, there's the layout, how it matches on the bottom with this piece of coax cable and a terminating resistor, 50 ohm coaxial tuning line. What the heck is that, the coaxial tuning line? I don't know. If you look in this thing, you'll see the picture and all the information on it, Dick, and the SWR chart, and this is... I don't know. I don't know what to say. You got to see it. Over.
Comment.
I wonder if that coaxial tuning line is something that you tune at each individual frequency. Hold on, comment. Let's see what Bernie's got to say. He came in a little earlier. K2YO, go ahead, Bernie.
I think that was Dick. Sorry, that was Wesley.
The person said YO. Is YO there?
Dick, he's got to let it drop. I'm trying to come in on echo lane.
Okay, we're going to let it fully drop.
Okay, well, that's not working. We'll go back to the RF way. Dick, I was able to pull up a little bit of information on Sommer antennas. Their telephone number is disconnected. Their website was last updated in 2008. If you go to www.archive.org, you can pull up the last known copy of their site, but it appears like Sommer antennas does not exist.
My goodness, if that's true, that this antenna is being, in theory, sold, or at least used to be sold, but doesn't exist since 2008. Roughly how pricey is that antenna, Mel? You've got a brochure. How pricey? And is there a date on the brochure? Maybe you've got a 2007 brochure, Mel. K2KEY, K2RIW. I'm in.
Hold on one. Originally I just got an email on this, you know, and then the emails started piling in on this. And now I got an email that said, look in the 18th edition of the ARRL antenna manual, and you'll see it, and there it is. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, what in the heck is this thing? I'm not sure what this is. You got to just really, do you have that edition by any chance, Dick? I think that was more or less, as they say, Confucius, was it? That one picture, 1,000 words, over.
Well, it doesn't matter, Dick, anymore. If the guy says K, you can't buy it anymore, so that's all.
Yeah, I still want to see it. It's going to take me 60 seconds to go to the other end of the house, to the particular library where that book is. So, Mel, please carry on for the next 60 seconds. I'll be back. K2RAW. Come in.
Okay. Station that said comment. Go ahead, give your comment.
Dick said, first you resonate, then you radiate. Actually, is that first you radiate, then you resonate, then you radiate. And to XJM.
Hold it, we're doubling. I turned it over to the comment station. Hold on a minute, Rex. Hold on. The station that said comment, go ahead, let it drop, please, fully, and then go ahead to one that said comment, over.
And to exchange with the comment.
Okay, no, there was another station that said comment before you. Hold on, everybody. There was a first station that said comment. Please let it drop and let me pick up him. This is K2KEY. Let it drop, please, fully.
K2BY, whatever. My name is WB2EIS. My name is Alan. A while ago in the library on the internet, I don't have the computer here, I was looking up different types of antennas, and I noticed a very peculiar one that was used by the United States Army that had a bandwidth of like at least 10 to 1, and it matched perfectly. It was called a loaded folded dipole. This may be a derivative of it. And the big difference was it's like a regular folded dipole, except opposite of the feed point, there was a 15 ohm resistor halfway through the antenna, and it caused the VizWav like virtually 1-to-1. And there were comments, it was used very long time ago by the Army, and it worked fairly well, and it matched great, and it had a 10-to-1 bandwidth. I thought it was very, very, very interesting, and it may be a derivative of it. This is WBCIS.
I'm familiar with what you're talking about, that antenna. No, this is not this situation. This is a completely different antenna. I didn't know what you're talking about, that one that they were selling with the resistors in it and all. Let me see if Dick is back. Once he gets the article, I mean, if he has the book, maybe he can decipher this thing. I think this is a bit of an enigma for me, to say the least. Let me see if Dick is back, first of all.
Yes, I'm back, and the latest issue I've got that I can find is the 17th edition. I might have one later. What page number should I go to? I think you said it's in the back of the book. Mel, go ahead.
Now, it's just the 18th edition. I don't know. I have to go find out the 17th edition, if that's what you're talking about. This is on page, in the back of the advertising page, let's see, I guess let's see, obviously, how do I count this thing here? Got to look at the, you know, advertisers in the back. Do they have the advertisers in the back in your book also, over?
Very unhappy to find out. Mine ends on chapter 28, and there are no advertisements in the back, and then after that it goes to an index, and after that I've got a floppy disk. So I have no advertisements in the back of the ARRL antenna book, 17th edition. Go ahead.
How could that be? You mean to tell me they only put it in this edition, the advertisers, wasn't, I mean they started with the 18th edition? I don't know. I mean, I'll look at a further one, over.
Check the copyright dates on both.
Yeah, my 17th edition is copyright... okay, where the heck's the copyright page? Found it. Copyright 1994. I'm going back too far, I think it's the problem. I've got a later edition, but it's at the salt mine. So, in the 1994 17th edition, there are no advertisements, Mel. But there is a floppy disk, and maybe there's advertisements in the floppy disk, but the... Now, it's a whole bunch of computer programs in the floppy disk. I'll stand by.
Okay, now I'm looking at the, what edition is this? I had to put another one, I pulled another edition. This is the 19th edition. The 19th edition has advertisements also in it, Dick, over.
And unfortunately, I got the 19th edition at the... I got the later editions at the salt mine because I use it as a text. Use it as a reference. Alrighty. So, we're not going to close the loop that way. So, you're looking at the VizWa plot that's in that advertisement of this non-existing antenna company, is what we're slowly finding out. It looks like they no longer exist. So, even if it was a beautiful antenna, maybe you can't buy it except buying it used. That VizWa curve that you're looking at, what's the highest and lowest VizWa that you see? Is it a continuous curve from 3.5 to 30 megacycles? And that tuning thing it's got at the bottom, do you have to tune that to each individual frequency? I'm a little bit afraid the answer is yes. And that's not bad, if that's what it is. But to say that it tunes continuously suggests that you don't have to do anything at those frequencies. And to get that much bandwidth out of a non-log periodic or a non-rhombic antenna, my goodness, is that a good trick. Over to you, Mel, K2LIW.
This is K2KEY. Nope, you don't. this tuning line has a terminated resistor. It shows on there 50 ohms and doesn't say any further tuning. And there's the chart. Not the chart's continuous, Dick, right through to from 3 to 30 megahertz. And, I don't know what to say, really. The company's out of business. I know he's very popular, his antennas. I've heard him on the air years past. I actually heard DJ2UT on the air a number of times. And he was working people all over the world. I mean, they were calling in from all over. And he had a phenomenal signal. So, yeah, running on, he was on one of his beams. So, I know he was quite a well-known antenna engineer and had a number of patents on systems there in Germany and Europe. So, I don't know what to say. All right, if you can get a hold of the 18th edition, you'll look on page, I think it's 698. You'll basically maybe can discuss it further because I'm at an enigma. I don't know what to say. Over.
It is the key, Dick, the patent office.
Okay. Does SOMA have a patent on that very antenna, to your knowledge?
I think that's what Mel said.
Yeah, Mel said another very magic word, a 50-ohm terminating resistor on the tuning line. Okay, so this is a distributed resistor slash radiator antenna. That's an entirely different class of antenna. And I know that there was a big controversy at ARRL headquarters 15 or so years ago because somebody came out with a dipole-like structure with this potted thing in the middle. And when people finally x-rayed it and took it apart, they found resistive elements in there. And that really upset them. You'd be amazed how many guys will not build a rhombic or a beverage antenna because it's got to have a 600-ohm terminating resistor at the end. And the guy thinks that, I've spent all this money generating this RF energy. I don't want to put it into a terminating resistor. Well, in the case of a rhombic or a beverage, it's a very desirable thing to do to create the front-to-back ratio. You could run it without the resistor if you like. The forward gain staying the same, but just now you don't have a good front-to-back ratio. Let me drop. But if this thing has a 50-ohm terminating resistor on a tuning line, I'm going to be looking at this in the book that I've got at the salt mine tomorrow, Mel. Describe this tuning line. Is it part of the matching network at the input of the antenna? Question number one. Question number two. What is the highest VISWAR on this continuous chart from 3.5 to 30 megacycles? What's the highest VISWAR shown? And number three, roughly how many dollars do they claim? Is it a $700 antenna? Over to you, Mel.
Okay, write it down. Look at the 18th edition. And then next week we'll really determine whether such an animal really exists. Somebody bought them out there because they have mentioned it, that they worked terrific. A guy in Florida, got a thing from a guy here in Florida, from Geneva, Florida, something about it, I don't know. Anyhow, you have, for instance, okay, let me describe it. It says from the transceiver, you got a 50-ohm feeder line. It goes to the base of the pipe, the 50-foot pipe, and it's marked there, 200-ohm transformer, T1. That's what's marked there. It says T1 200 ohms. Then this pipe goes up 50 feet. It's got like something at the top, like a piece of standoff, it looks like, you know, something to hold another wire that drops down to 50 feet. That's a wire, not another pipe, just a whole, like a wire standing off of the pipe. Drops down to another thing marked T2, another transformer. And that goes to a tuning line with a 50-ohm resistor, over.
Tell me about that tuning line with the 50-ohm resistor. Is that something you adjust as you go to each individual band? Or is it because of your particular layout of your backyard, do you think you tune that once and then the antenna operates across all of those frequencies? And by the way, the possibility exists that that tuning line with the 50-ohm terminating resistor, maybe it's eating up two-thirds of your RF energy and one-third is being radiated. under good band conditions. That's going to knock you down 5 dB, so to speak, in gain, 5 dB in radiated power. And if the guy you're talking to, because of the state of the ionosphere, is 30 dB above your noise, and you knock him down 5 dB, that ain't bad. So if this antenna requires no tuning at the antenna, no tuning at the antenna matchbox, and it wastes 60% of your power, so to speak, because it's got a terminating resistor, that's not a bad compromise antenna. Although in the past, people got very hot under the collar of that approach to a broadband antenna. What's the highest visual that you see on that curve, Mel? Go ahead.
0.5 from 3 to 30 megahertz. 1.5 VSWR here. Shows you the chart. This resistor thing, it says no tuning required. The loss by use of a terminating resistor is less than a half of a F unit, according to this stick. And the price of it is which is the price of this thing here, because I did get a thing for a price, $567.34. Yikes, over.
Okay, now we're getting some specifics. Half of an S unit of loss. An S unit on a well-calibrated S meter is 6 decibels. Half of an S unit of loss is 3 dB. 50% of the power is going into that resistor, is what those words are saying. Now, that's not a bad compromise. If you're willing to sacrifice 50% of your power in order to have a no-tune antenna to cover all those megacycles and get 1.5 to 1 maximum VISWA, not a bad compromise. I mean, who was it now? The guy at headquarters. Can't think of his name right now. Who was the antenna maven at ARL headquarters that passed away? But he was there 10, 15 years ago.
737.
That was a triple. Try somebody again.
Jerry Sevick, you mean?
No. He wasn't working at headquarters. Who was the guy at ARL headquarters? Who was the old maven of antennas?
Lou McCoy.
That's the name. Thank goodness. Okay. Lou McCoy got very hot under the collar when they took that dipole-like thing with the potted assembly in the middle, and they found that it contained resistors. I think that was excessive anger from my point of view. It's not a bad compromise to use to lose, let's say, half of your power in order to get a no-tune antenna that covers a whole lot of megacycles. It's not a bad compromise from my point of view. And maybe the T50 is doing that. Now it's becoming a little bit more understandable. If you insisted on 100% efficiency and all of those megacycles, wow. But if you're willing to take 50% of the power and throw it away in order to get a broadband antenna, which is more severe than what a rhombic does, but still, I mean, a rhombic will radiate 80% of its power before the remaining 20% goes into the 600 ohm resistor. I don't know if those are the exact numbers. It's a big factor of how many wavelengths you've got on the side, but still, it's probably what a rhombic does. But that's a traveling wave antenna, multiple wavelengths long. This thing is a fraction of a wavelength long at 80 meters. Although 50 feet, yes, 50 feet, that's not even a quarter wave at 80 meters. It sounds a little more possible now, Mel. But if the company no longer exists, can you buy it without going to the used market is the next question. And do we know anybody who owns one? Do we have a real testimonial from somebody that we know and love and trust? K2KEY, K2RIW.
It has, 1 second, Dick. If your computation is right, then it has the same performance with a regular ground plane vertical, because those verticals are actually wasting half of your power too in hitting the ground. So I will take this antenna anytime over a ground plane. Thank you.
Set up antennas, and a couple of guys that I visited, you know, they have some ideas, you know, hidden type little ideas and things and all, but they were sort of all looking for a flagpole type of antenna. something that you can stick in front of your house with the American flag on so that you don't get nobody saying, hey, take that down. So I think this is what they use to feel, which would think that it, to feel that this would be the answer to their problem, something like this, over.
Yeah, I wonder how much it looks like a flagpole. What's your guess? This 50-foot pole, is it 4 inches in diameter at the base or something like that? Mel, go ahead.
I don't know. It says one man, easily erected by one person. It's a T50 type of aluminum piece of material. And that's it. I don't know nothing else, I really, from what I'm just reading here. So I would assume that if you're in a certain situation, if this thing could really work to any extent, because, like I said, I visited a few people down there and all. You literally can't stick anything. You can't do nothing. I mean, they watch everything. You can't paint your house other than specified colors. I wouldn't move into this area. I said, even with the nice layout, the beautiful landscaping and everything, it's just too restrictive. But seems like a good part of Florida is going that way, Dick. Over.
Yeah, heavily controlled communities. California's got some of those also. Okay, now I'm beginning to believe a little more. Still, it's awful good performance. But now, because the radiator, 50 feet tall, is less than a quarter wave at 80 meters, from what you can tell from that advertisement, they can't claim it's a half-wave resonator. Well, could they? If it had just the right kind of electronics in there, could it be electronically a half wave, even though mechanically it's less than quarter wave? We're into a slightly gray zone here. Do you think, Mel, from what you can tell, from the brochure that was mailed to you and the ad you're seeing in the ARL antenna book, are there a whole lot of ground plane radials? What does the thing also claim? It doesn't even require ground plane radials. K2KEY, K2LIW.
Yeah, it seems like it shows like one radio something there. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm looking at here. I don't even understand what they mean by T1, T2. I assume some kind of transformers that are on the bottom of the antenna that you bury them. I don't understand this thing, Dick, because it's I don't know what it's doing, how it's doing this. I've not ever heard of this type of a setup here, whatever, that it can go, you know, like I say, this thing, the 3 to 30 megahertz with a 1.5 or better FWR right across it and all, and no individual tuning of bands and everything, one time up, and it's all supposedly just stick it up there and it's ready to go. I guess if you're in a restricted area or whatever, this is the best you can manage, boy, oh boy, sure going to get you on the air, no less, Dick. And I don't think I could say you're going to get any kind of problems from your neighbors, over.
WB2EAP with a comment.
Go ahead, Ed.
I think the primary specification is that the company is no longer in business. Let's see. 3.5, 30 megahertz. No tune. No radials. Less than a quarter wave. Reservoir of less than 1.5 to 1. And it's also 2 watts. No wonder the company's out of business.
Well, the author, the Mr. Soma, DJ2UT, is a silent key. So that makes it a little bit more acceptable. But, and is there an importer that's still got a stockpile of them in the warehouse? Did the family of Mr. Somer continue with his business after he became a silent key? There's a slim chance that the antenna is still available, even though he's no longer alive. And there is an American importer of this, I think, German company. But it does sound awful good. Before I would put down $500, I'd do a little bit more checking to find out... is there really one in the box at the warehouse I'm talking to? Do I trust them? Do they have a good track record? The American shipper, are they going to really send it to me? By the way, with that line coming down the side of this flagpole-like thing, that could look like the lanyard that normally holds up the flag. Over to you, Mel. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Exactly. That's exactly why, because it looks like it only sticks off the side of the pipe only a short distance. And I could see. And now, how is possibly this company, I don't know what happened, because they had a whole line. You can see here, I'm looking at this advertiser, he had a whole line of lots of antennas, multi-band beams and full-size beams and all. And like I say, I've heard of it before. I heard him on the air. He was quite active some years ago. A lot of people were calling in there. In fact, there's a picture here that they're showing in a book. It says one of the beams with the tower. This was located at KB0. In this country, the installation of this beam, which looks like a goes through 10, 12, 15, 17, 20, 30, and 40-meter beam in one antenna. And which one is model XP807, picture taken at Kilo Bravo Zero Charlie Obo, KB0 COs QTH, over.
There's another comment I was going to make, but I've forgotten now. So we don't know much about ground plane radio requirements. Does it anywhere say that it is a half-wave radiator? Probably not. All we know is it's 50 feet tall, some reasonable diameter. Apparently no guy wire is required, although something 50 foot tall, if it's not the shape of a radio tower, I'd want to put guy wires on it. Otherwise, I'd afraid in a really stiff wind it'll blow over. Wonder if it's got a wind rating. It might exist. It might really be something. There's still an American importer, and maybe he's got some of them in the warehouse. And maybe the family is carrying on the business, even though he's a silent key. And yes, I do see evidence that he's got a whole lot of individual products, Yagi-like products, a whole lot of them. So I'm not convinced it's a fly-by-night, if you know what I mean. It sounds like a substantial company with a reasonably large product line with this unusual antenna. Wow. Okay. Now, of course, the main thing that happened in the email you got 3 or 4 weeks ago is this a good buy? Should he buy it? And you and I tend not to get into that one. That's a tough one. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Got more than one person now asking. I've got lots of them. And they're all coming in from places I could see. Retirement communities and things like that. We've been looking for an antenna that will work, you know, on all the bands and all, and does it real? Can I make one? How would you go about making a folded monopole? Because it can't be, you know, I guess $567.34 in materials. I mean, a 50-foot piece of pipe that you could purchase. Most likely you could buy a flagpole, and then if you could add on to, you know, get one of these aluminum flagpoles that with the pulley on there to pull the flag up, and maybe add on some kind of attachment in some way or another and duplicate this thing. I can't see any, you know, real specialized machining work or anything that if such a thing could be created. Over.
It does sound like it's buildable. And yes, where the wire going up the side is the feed point. It's being fed as the upper tip. You have the ability to ground the bottom. So the normal mounting structure for a flagpole is possible without compromising the base by forcing an insulator to be there. This could have the ground plane radials connected directly to the base is a possibility. So yes, a crafty guy, once he understands the design, assuming it's a good design, could take a real flagpole and convert it in this manner. I don't remember of all the articles we've seen in antenna manuals and antenna articles themselves in magazines, a wire going parallel to the whole antenna feeding it. Yes, I have. I've seen very few of them, but I have seen that as a, it's a very narrow version of a sloper, if you know what I mean. Although the sloper tends to be insulated from the support structure, I have the impression that the upper end of the wire is directly connected. It looks like a standoff insulator, but it's just a mechanical standoff. I'm guessing that wire is really attached to the top. K2KEY, K2LIW.
Wouldn't you run it up the middle of the pipe?
Not necessarily. Oh, no. In the case of a folded dipole, that folded extra structure, you want it to be part of the radiator, Ed. So you wouldn't run that on the inside. If you did run it on the inside, it would just be a piece of coax cable with an open circuit end, and that's not good enough. So you do want it on the outside, in my opinion. Over to you, Mel.
Okay. That is like that. Hold.
Mel, make sure you squeeze that button hard enough here. Occasionally you drop out.
K2YL.
No, I wanted to let it drop fully. I said let it drop to everybody. Okay. A folded monopole antenna. Nothing new. I'm picturing a folded quarter wave monopole antenna, Dick. And with quarter wave radial. What is the essential difference between, say, a folded monopole antenna and a ground plane antenna with elevated radial? What is essentially the difference, over?
Yeah, I've got an answer to that, but Bernie called in, K2YO. Go ahead, Bernie.
Mel, could you give us the telephone number that you have for this company?
K2YO, why would an antenna question?
Joe also recognized. Bernie asked, is there a telephone number for that company that's selling the product?
I got a phone number here. Oh, I got it in the antenna issue, the 18th edition of the antenna manual. It says phone number here, 407-349-9114. Say again, 407-349-9114. 407, I think that was somebody, yeah, so it was a relative of mine in Florida, I believe, had 407. Let me, wait a minute. Oh, no. XYL. Wasn't somebody, who's 407? Who was it, 407? Your aunt, of course. Okay. Yeah, she lived in a place in Florida, in Central Florida, over.
Yeah, 407 is Orlando and surrounding areas.
Okay, that telephone number is disconnected. So you may want to respond back to the people asking, should they buy one of these, of where do they expect to buy it from, because that telephone number is disconnected.
Did you hear that, Mel? That phone number is disconnected?
Since he passed away, you know, they may have closed up that place, but most likely there could have been a big stock stick. You know, there may have been, a warehouse with the stuff. Maybe it was turned over to somebody else. I didn't get a... I'm looking through here. I have to look through emails and find out who is stocking it now. It's very possible that somebody took over the stock, over.
Yeah, but somebody made the suggestion that... Be sure that the phone number or the address or whatever really exists before you send your money. Fascinating. Joe, to meet you, RYY, we'll wait for the full drop, and I think you said you got a further question. Go ahead.
No, I said I have an antenna question. Can I get that squeezed in? I don't know if I get two per customer per TechNet.
But you will make the exception. Go ahead.
K2YL.
Hold on for a minute, Tom. Bernie first, go ahead. You got some more information on that phone number, Bernie?
I have some information on a T25, T25 antenna. Is that the one we're looking on?
Negative, T50, go ahead.
And a T525 also mentioned.
Okay, I've been able to pull up a web page of what they said about the T25. Dick, where can I email you a link right now?
ARL.net. But we're not looking for T25. We're looking for T-50. All right, let's go over to Joe. Dimitri, go ahead with your question, Joe.
Okay, I'm going to be in the market for buying another television antenna because I had a catastrophe happen with mine in the recent windstorm last week, but that's a whole other story by itself. Anyway, what are your specifications of same company, because it wasn't the company's fault, it was my fault, not the antenna. But anyway, and I'm probably going to try something that has a little wider bandwidth as far as the amount of channels. I'm looking at something here where one has listed more gain on lower channels, but the boom length is not as long as another one that has less gain. And the gain is different by about 1 dB on channels 2, 4, 5, 6, basically. And there's a boom length difference of, say, 131 inches to, say, 168.25 inches total length.
What's channel 2?
What's channel 2? As far as what?
It's 54 to 60. And because he is a television DXer, because he is seeing digital television pilot tones on places like channel 2, quite possibly it's a low power digital TV station a zillion miles away, and I think you're looking forward to television DXing it, if I understand you, Joe. In fact, you were doing quite a bit of that in the past. Let me drop. So you didn't finish the whole statement. You didn't make it into a question, but I presume the assumed question is, with the shorter boom and 1 dB more claim, is it possible? Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's the longer boom with 1 dB more claim. When it comes to the claim number of gain in decibels on television aerials, I've got a lot of trouble with that. Maybe this company you're dealing with is an honest company. Maybe the industry has suddenly turned honest. I'm worried about those numbers because in the past, television aerials had all kinds of crazy claims. In many cases, they would look at the directivity of the main lobe and come up with a gain number out of that. And as you know, directivity is a necessary but not sufficient to assure gain. I can give you an array of 50-ohm resistors set up like a collinear antenna. I can give you an antenna pattern with a 3-degree beamwidth. Simultaneous, a 3-degree beamwidth, you might do a calculation and say, oh, that antenna's got 21 dB of gain over isotropic. And the antenna might be 20 dB negative over isotropic because it's made out of leaky 50-ohm resistors. So directivity is not enough. So I think you're asking me, is the gain number possible? I don't know. And out of curiosity, how many dB of gain are they claiming, Joe? W-H-U-R-Y-Y, K-Q-R-I-W.
Okay, let's start with a lower frequency here. Channel 2, they claim 6.2 dB over reference dipole with a beam width of half power point, 69 degrees. That antenna, call that antenna A, has a boom length of 131 inches from end to end. Let's see, maximum width 110 inches, so that's probably the last element in the back. Antenna B has a gain of 5 dB on channel 2, beam width at half power point 63 degrees, and that states that it has a boom length of 168.25 inches.
And I presume the 5.8, 6.2 over dipole was antenna A, and antenna B was 63 degrees. Huh. Antenna B has less beamwidth, which should be more gain, and they've got less gain. Well, they're probably talking about the horizontal beamwidth, and we don't know what's going on with the vertical. And it's got the extra boom lens. So the lower gain antenna with the sharper beamwidth has the longer boom.